Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast.
My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, the Atlanta Sports Guys, we are finally back after almost a month away. Garrett Chapman is here. Max Markovich could not be here today. We miss you, Max. We miss you. But Max should be back next week. Garrett, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. No, it's been a little too long, man. I don't like how long it's been. But I mean, you know what? It's I'm glad we're back, and look, we're one championship richer. So, it's been a good month, I will say.
That's right. We recorded last time before the Braves actually won the World Series. And you, well, to be fair, you're also just a guy who just goes to everything. You're someone that has more money than Max and I combined on this very podcast. You go to everything. I don't understand how this works because you got a girlfriend now, and that we all know that increases spending a little bit. So I don't understand how you're all doing this. Have you just gone ahead and sent a text message to, or mass text to all the people closest in your life that you're like, hey, bad news, did not think this through, but I've spent all of my income for the year on Atlanta sporting events, so no presents. No presents. The present is my happiness.
It is my presence, you know. So I think it's honestly the whole attending everything that I possibly can started back in in May, back with when the Hawks started making their run. I mean, that's when I really started going full-fledged, going to every single thing that I possibly could. I used to not, but I love sporting events. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like I'm really tight with money everywhere else in my life, and I'm like, you know what, I really like this thing. I like this one thing. So I'm going to go do that one thing, you know?
Okay.
And I just buy cheap tickets mostly. And then I just go down and finagle my way into good spots. I'm pretty good at just faking it till I make it, you know? So
I mean,
standing room and do whatever, and then it all works.
There you go. There you go. But you went to some of the World Series games, didn't you? Did you go to one or two?
I wanted to go to two.
Okay.
I was not that lucky, but no, I was able to go to game five. So the one game that we lost, actually. Mm-hmm. But I just bought standing room. I actually had seats for the game, so but I didn't use them. I went down to standing room only, just because I just like the vibe of standing room only for some mm-hmm. reason. It's just something that I really enjoy. But dude, the atmosphere at that stadium was just absolutely electric. That was the game that Adam Duvall hit the first inning grand slam.
Yeah.
And holy shit, like this is just the idea that the Braves could have clinched a World Series like with me there in person was just sort of an incredible experience just in and of itself. Yeah, we did lose, but look, the good guys won in the end. But
it's really weird that they're just world champions.
The battery was really wild, weird too. Yeah. I went to the watch party too mm-hmm. for game six. I think it was that Tuesday. And dude, that place, it was like, what, $10 to get in there for the watch party
mm-hmm.
and worth every penny.
Every penny.
In there with tens of thousands of people. They packed the place. They packed the place on Tuesday just to go sit in the stands, order expensive beer, and watch the game on a big television. But it was just the thought that you could be in the stadium at the time with a bunch of other Braves fans, and it was just – it was a great experience. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. It was definitely – I felt bad I was not able to come back because I was – I wish I could have come back for the parade on Friday, because I just – that was something – if it was on Saturday, I probably could have swung it, but I could not swing it on that Friday. So it was it was one of those where I was like, man, this is probably going to be the last parade opportunity for a long time, because I do wonder if when you talk to Braves fans and like when people call in and stuff at 99, do they assume that this is the start of a dynasty, or are they aware that to maintain a dynasty, you have to spend at a certain level, and it's not realistic to expect that, and we need to just like embrace this one and just whatever happens after that, but just don't have those expectations sky high of like, oh, here we go, we're doing this for the foreseeable future.
See, I think most people who called in aren't looking to next year at all.
Okay.
That we talked to, most people were just excited about the moment. And I appreciated that. That was something that I really liked, because I think I did this a little bit. Once I got past like the initial, oh my God, we just won a World Series. I started thinking about next year. I started thinking about, hey, what could this become? Because that's sort of a natural inclination, especially as sports guys, guys who just do this for a living. I mean, that's where our brains go. We look at the storyline. We look for something that we can build on. But I think the fans, for the most part, they were just excited to have just won, you know? And there was like this sweet release. I saw this on that Tuesday. I heard this on the calls. We had all the post-game reactions. We had that on 92.9. We had people calling in and giving their immediate reactions to what happened in the game. And it was just sort of this sweet release, you know? And it was just a very good feeling. And the city of Atlanta, I live in Midtown. So the feeling around the city, like I would wear this World Series hoodie around town, and people would like honk and like cheer out the window when they saw my hoodie. It was just something. It was really cool. It was just a really cool thing. I think people were just happy in the city. We had something to rally around, it's what sports are all about. You know, it was just kind of a beautiful moment here in the city. I loved it.
I think I have some Atlanta World Series merch, but I can't rock it yet. So shout out to the Sports Renaissance woman. Great woman. One of my favorites. Some might say she's the best woman, but she got me, I'm pretty sure, I'm like 99% certain that she got a bunch of Braves World Series merch for me for Christmas. And like whenever I was like looking to buy some stuff, she's like, don't do that. And I was like, okay, well, you're putting me in a bind, because Christmas is still just like, what, over a month away, and this happened a few weeks earlier. So I'm just like, oh, so I'm just like not rocking any World Series merch for like 2 months. I've been embargoed on any World Series merch for the foreseeable future. It's a tough look for your guy.
Yeah, no, I actually just went up to the I just have my Freddie Freeman World Series jersey. I just got that one. I think that's the only uniform I'm probably going to buy, like the jersey that I'm going to buy with the patch. Maybe another one. I might get a snit, because I have a Bobby Cox 95. I'm thinking about getting a Snicker 2021, you know, that'd be kind of cool. But no, I have that. And I'm limiting myself to like two t-shirts, a hoodie. I want to get something for my wall. I got to get something for my, I have so much. Like, you should see, I have one. Are you a tabs guy on your computer?
Oh, yeah.
You feel like you use Chrome?
Big tabs guy, yeah.
I'm a big tabs guy. So I'm sitting here, like, I could pull it up. I'll send you a picture, a screenshot or something of it. But it's literally just tab of just like little things that I want.
Why don't you bookmark them?
I've saved it all. And I've got the girlfriend, she's actually coming over after we're done here, and I was going to show her everything in there. Maybe she was like a hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
That's not a hint, hint. Hey, sit at my computer and go through my tabs.
Take a look at this. These are things that I'm looking at, like other things. Some of them are really cool, though. I might actually, I'm going to share some of them with you guys, you and Max, just because some of them are like, there's like some like $200, I think, is the most expensive thing that I have on this. But most of it's like under $100. But it's like some of them are like ticket stubs and. Like that was something I was kind of salty about, like in the new era. I was like, I didn't get a World Series ticket from my ticket, and I'm still a little upset about that. But I mean, it's but some of them, like, they have tickets, they have like pictures of like little coins, like things like that. Just a lot of commemorative items, just cool little things like that. But no,
yeah, dude, I'm saving tickets. Saving tickets are cool. And
I have my 2012 SEC championship ticket from,
but they're going away
because Georgia game. But they don't do that anymore.
No, well, it's also just that I didn't realize because we actually didn't use tickets that I was going to get on for the Georgia game, which we will not discuss whatsoever. And I they were actually hard copies, and I was like, it was kind of. I'd never see them anymore. Like even just being at Tennessee, like I'm always scanning my student ID or scanning some online thing. And then back in Atlanta, like when I go to Hawks games, I was never like printing out a ticket. Like I was thinking about it. I was like, I don't remember the last time I was printing out tickets like that. I don't know. It was just kind of sad because it is a cool thing to have and to keep up with the actual paper copies.
Yeah, but it's not even just the paper copies, like that little like hard, that's not like cardboard, but what's that material?
It's like, definitely not cardboard.
It's not cardboard. No. I just don't know.
But I do love the idea of adding cardboard tickets in there.
Thicker paper-ish stuff. I don't really know. Ticket material. I have no idea. But
I don't know what to call the material either. I just know that.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Yes.
And it's, I don't know. I miss those. I miss those a lot. Yeah. I wanted one for the World Series, but I didn't get one.
Have you been back to Statesboro to get some early looks at Clay Helton?
Actually, speaking of Clay Helton, we have our alumni weekend this weekend. My fraternity, I was going to go down because we're playing BYU this weekend.
Wait, are you really playing BYU this weekend in Statesboro?
Yeah, in Statesboro.
So that's tempting. You got to go. Why aren't you going down for that?
I work, man. I got to
work, schmirk. Tell him Provo is coming. You got to go.
No, actually, speaking of Clay Helton, we have Clay Helton. I do college football game time every Saturday morning, 9 to noon on 989. And shameless plug. And we actually have Clay Helton. He's joining us.
Really?
Saturday. Tomorrow, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you want to listen to any of that audio, I'll be happy to send that your way. But, no, I'm really excited. They were – I had someone in the athletic department down there that I was able to get in touch with, and man, they responded very quickly. They got back to me immediately. So I think Clay Helton's ready to get going. And they used him in the promos and everything for this BYU game that's coming up this weekend. And they sold out immediately. I mean, it's Statesboro. Statesboro's starving for a return to a solid football program. And, I mean, football's a big deal down there in Statesboro. So I think Clay Helton's an interesting hire. I know we really haven't had a chance to talk about it yet, but man, I there are a lot of questions that I have. Just because, I mean, you have the triple option offense, you have just the tradition of Georgia Southern football, and Clay Helton's not that. Clay Helton is a guy who had a winning record, a Rose Bowl champion at a big-time program like USC. Why is he going down to Statesboro? That's the thing. It didn't really make much sense to me. He was only on the job market for 6 weeks.
People have been saying that.
He probably would have gotten an opportunity at a lot of different places.
People have always said that Statesboro is the Coliseum of the South.
Pretty much. Paulson's the prettiest little stadium in America.
But you know what's funny? I also thought that he would just be appreciated at a lower tier SEC program. And like, if you look at his background and the Helton family and Tyson and all that, but like, he made sense more in the South than at USC anyway. And everyone liked him and his kind of demeanor and everything else. I was like, okay, I could see it. He was fine at USC for a long time, but he could actually be good and just likable and just have a good life like in the Southeast. Like even at Georgia Tech, like he would just be a delight there. But that's a conversation for another day. And the Jeff Collins, it turns out the Waffle House
mark. Or not Statesboro. I mean, he's from Gainesville. He's from the Southeast.
I think it's interesting. Sunbelt, like the Sunbelt's growing, and the Sunbelt, I love their additions, and I love how they're building out this conference, and it's fun. It's definitely the fun belt. And
it certainly is.
It's good.
I'd say it's the seventh best conference. I'd say that.
It's top three in watchability, though. Like, and especially getting Marshall in there. I love watching some Marshall. You got App State. You got Coastal. You got Southern. You got Georgia State. Like, you got a lot of good programs in there. Louisiana, obviously.
I mean, like, it's a solid conference. I think it needs to round out a little bit more, especially in football.
Well, they're up to 14 now?
Well, what I'm saying is, like, out west, there isn't much. I mean, you have South Alabama, which isn't very good. You have Texas State, I think it is, and then they're not very good. You have, I mean, there are a couple programs out there out west that just really Arkansas State, meh. The Cajun, the Raging Cajuns kind of dominate out west, and then the east side you got Coastal, Southern, and App State, and a lot better teams. So the balance is just isn't really there right now. But it's still a good conference. I think they're growing. They're growing, and I think they're going to be. They're just fun to watch. It's definitely the fun belt, like you said.
You know what's not fun, Garrett? The Atlanta Falcons over the last 2 weeks.
What a bridge.
I'm a professional after over 700 of these, Garrett. No, this was awful. I was texting you guys throughout last night. The Hawks we'll get to in a second, but the Falcons, the uniforms were crisp. They were delightful. I wish they were here to stay, but this was just bad across the board. In your estimate, if you had to explain to the good folks who did not tune in to Pat's Falcons last night in the Dome, I'm not calling it Mercedes-Benz, at the Dome, what would you say happened last night?
Probably the most forgetful game of the season, to say the very least. I mean, it was ugly. It was bad. Like, just start to finish. I mean, Lord have mercy. I mean, like, you look, the defense actually played pretty well. I will give Dean Pease credit. The defense played well. Yes, it was against a rookie quarterback. Yeah, but it's still, I mean, still the New England Patriots against Josh McDaniels, and then like it's a good enough offense that, and this defense has really just hasn't been very good, and they played pretty well. So I'll give them credit. But when you have a guy like Allison running the way he was, why did you take the ball away from him? Why didn't you run the football with him a little bit more? Why did you then try and drop back and take a pass on 3rd and 1 on the 14-yard line when your offensive line has been a putrid mess the entire day, and then take a sack?
Or QB sneak. He doesn't like QB sneak calls at all. That should have been one of the two calls. Like, I don't know how a QB sneak was not one of the calls.
And then on top of that, then you have how in God's name, how in God's name, do you have an illegal procedure? How do you line up incorrectly on a freaking field goal? I don't know if I can cuss here necessarily, but how do you line up incorrectly on a field goal?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just it was the most embarrassing thing that one play is when I was like, all right, this game's done. I can't, it was so bad. I about lost it when that
the sports
happened.
Renaissance woman came in the room and just saw me like I was it was just hunched over, and I was like refusing to look at like the and I was and then I had to explain to her. I was like, you don't understand just how dumb of a sequence that like I just experienced was, like, just how Falcons-y that whole experience
was
really was. Yeah,
but I've been mostly apathetic towards the Falcons this year, unfortunately.
I think that's how most people are.
I watch the games with very little emotion, and that's not how I watch sports. I don't like watching sports without emotion and caring and everything. And it's that one moment I legitimately yelled at the screen for the first time all season. I think it was the first time at the screen, at least. I was also at the football game, the football team game, whatever, Washington game to town, and that was just an embarrassing mess the way they. That's for another conversation. Taylor Heineke, no excuse for that game. But it's just mistake after mistake, and this offense just doesn't have pieces. I mean, if we had Cordarrelle Patterson playing in that game, if we had Calvin Ridley playing in that game, maybe the Falcons offense had something. Maybe we could have schemed something a little bit more effective. But Olamide Zaccheaus is just not somebody who needs to be your number two option. Russell Gage is clearly not a number one option. And Kyle Pitts, I mean, look, if he's your only legitimate weapon and you're playing Bill frickin' Belichick on the other side, no, you're not going to be able to do a damn thing. He's going to take him away, and he just snaps his fingers and he just disappears. And that's just Bill Belichick. That's what he does. So that's what you expected. But they just didn't have any answers. And look, at the end of the day, if you can't keep Matt Ryan upright in the pocket and you don't have weapons to take some pressure off of him, you're going to have a bad time. it was just embarrassing watching Matt Ryan just get absolutely pummeled on just play after play after play. It was terrible watching him limp off the field after getting rolled over on his ankle and or his foot rather, and then he's just gushing out blood for the second game this season. Like, the fact that you have your quarterback bleeding on the sideline, not once but twice in a season, just because you're just he's just getting hit so much is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I don't know how you strap on the pads and go to practice the next week, because I don't know how these offensive linemen show their faces at Flowery Branch. It's embarrassing. It is just oh God, you got me all worked up now. This is what the Falcons do to me. I mean, I love this team. I think Arthur Smith is a good coach. I think he's still the guy for the Atlanta Falcons, and I think he could be so damn good with Matt Ryan. But my God, he doesn't have any weapons. My God, he can't stand upright because he snaps the ball and he has a defensive lineman in his face in a second flat. And it's embarrassing. It's just embarrassing.
Oh man. I can't even get mad though. Like the Matt Ryan stuff, so this was interesting too. And, I saw a lot of people last night, tweeting about Matt Ryan and dying for this team and just getting shellacked the way that he was. Shout out to our guys, Jalen Mayfield and Mr. McGarry, who still quite bad. Matt Hennessy was also quite bad in this one. Need Alex Mack back. That'd be great. No, it was like the problem with that line of thinking to me is that like Ryan signed off on all of this. Like Ryan knew the situation he was walking into. He knew the dearth of talent on defense. He knew the offensive line did not look great. He knew that Julio was on his way out. He knew that things were pretty murky all across the board, and he still locked in for another year and restructured and was like, I want to be a part of this retooling. Matt Ryan could have been like, no, I'm good. I know that this is going to go the other way and that this talent issue is not going to be solved, and I don't want to waste the last few years of me playing elite football in Atlanta. Love you guys. I'm the best quarterback in this franchise's history. But I'm going to go try and do the Stafford thing in LA or somewhere else. And he didn't do that. So like it stinks to see him deal with this week to week. And when you're actually watching the game, like I hurt for Matt Ryan, but the idea that Ryan deserves no blame for his situation is just not true. He could have left. He could have done what Julio did, and Julio saw it before Ryan did, and it's not his fault that we didn't draft his replacement. We didn't kind of force his hand there, but at the same time, Ryan knew what he was walking into the last few years and what lies ahead. So I don't know. I feel bad that he's in this situation, but I also think he deserves some culpability for the position that this franchise finds itself in.
I mean, it's not. I wouldn't say it's like I'm not gonna blame Matt Ryan for not forcing his way out via trade.
I don't think he would have had to force his way out. I think Falcons fans would have understood it. And I think the ownership would have understood.
I certainly agree that the Falcons fans would have understood if he wants to push his way out. I get it when Julio Jones forced his way out. I get that. I didn't like it, but I get it. But I don't think that's based off of everything I've ever seen about Matt Ryan. That has not been something that I would ever expect him to do. I think he wants to be here in Atlanta. I think he wants to play for this team, and I think he wants to create a winner on this team within this franchise. I mean, and I give him credit for that. That takes this is a losing franchise, so I give him a lot of credit for that. But I don't know. I'm not going to blame Matt Ryan because he didn't force it, because he didn't like push his way out. Yeah, I mean, he's got a big old contract, but it's not that bad when you actually put it on the scale of what other quarterbacks are making, but
what I'm saying ultimately is not like I'm like, hey, Matt, this is your fault. What I'm saying is just that like, this is part of the deal. When you want to ride it out to the end with one team and the life cycle of a team changes, like the remnants of that Super Bowl run are long gone. And
oh, yeah.
Like that's over. Like all that's been trending the wrong way for years now, and you've known it's trending the wrong way. That's part of why Julio wanted out and saw the writing on the wall there. I don't know. I think that's just part of it. I think he wasn't completely honest about where this team was headed. You know what I mean? Maybe it was just blind loyalty, which is cool, but I don't know. Like he still he knew what was happening. I don't think Matt Ryan thought this was a Super Bowl team. I don't think he, and it's not even like we're awful.
I don't think anybody truthfully thought that this was a Super Bowl team. I don't think anybody, maybe a blind person might confuse it for a Super Bowl team just because they thought it was actually the, I don't know. They thought they were looking at the other team or some other, I don't know. They thought they were looking at the Chiefs because they were blind. I don't know.
I also think when people are like, oh, this was the Fields thing and Mac Jones and like going there. And my thing is that like, I think if we've seen anything, I don't want a quarterback until we fix the offensive line. Like, yes, you've taken two first-round picks. I don't want Justin Fields behind this. He's getting killed just as bad, if not worse, than Ryan. So, no, I think it actually validates more of the Falcons' concerns about taking a quarterback there, of just being like, we don't want a rookie quarterback behind this kind of offensive line. We're going to protect, like, we need to do the Cowboys thing of, like, just build out the offensive line and know that you're good across the board before you draft a quarterback. Like Tua, like Miami didn't do enough, and Tua's gotten his brains beat in. Chicago clearly didn't do enough. Part of that, they did get just destroyed with injuries before the season got started. But like, I don't know, man. I think the offensive line needs so much work. The defensive line needs so much work. The secondary outside of AJ Terrell, who had a great pick in this one, needs so much work. I don't know. I think the one thing I think is for certain is we just don't need a retooling. Like, there's no retooling going on here. Like, the retooling is over. We're not pulling off what the Saints did or the Steelers did at the tail end of this Big Ben and Drew Brees' run. I don't think there's nearly enough talent to pull that off at this point.
No, but talk about the only bright spot of the game was AJ Terrell.
Yeah.
That was it. Maybe. And then
Quadri Allison dropping 40 pounds and looking great.
I mean, Dante Fowler actually got on the board. Dante Fowler got a sack. How about that?
He didn't really get that sack, though. The one I remember, it's where he dove late. Yeah,
it's a sack. It's a half sack. It was kind of clean up.
Because it was Eric Harris who had gotten in there, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I think they split it, didn't they? Whatever. But
the little things for Dante Fowler.
It's all about the little things. That because his contract is so big, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, let's move off on the Falcons. I can't do this anymore. I hate this. I hate this season
painful.
So much.
It's painful, and I just don't know where they're going to go from here. There's just so many holes.
Right.
But we're not drafting a quarterback next year.
No.
So maybe later on. No, I don't think we're drafting a quarterback.
I think it's trading Ridley. I think it's trading Deion Jones.
Calvin Ridley's
not
going to be here next year.
I might consider trading Grady Jarrett.
You know, I actually saw that I saw something like that. I don't know who wrote it. I think I shared that article with you guys. It was in the AJC or the Athletic or something like that. But maybe that's in our future. Maybe we need to.
He's our best trade chip. That's like movable because you're not moving Terrell and you're not moving Pitts. So it's like,
no, those guys are too young. And then Grady is.
He's locked
maybe
up.
I mean, maybe. What would you get for him?
I don't know. Maybe? Like, he's a great player, and he was great last night.
No, he's a top three defensive tackle in football. I mean, he's a very good player.
If you get two or three good draft picks for him, I think you do it. Like, we need so many bites at the apple in upcoming drafts that, like, it would suck. But it's like, it's the same thing with Julio. It's like the sins of previous administrations and drafting and all this stuff. But, like, you have to make the difficult decisions because I don't think the timelines match up with Grady and figuring this out. So it's just like, what's the point of having, if our defense is going to look like this and have no talent anywhere else, like what is the point of a Grady Jarrett on this particular team?
Yeah. And I don't see this next quarterback draft class really moving for me. So I don't think that we're going to take one in this next class. We have too many other issues and you still have Matt Ryan under contract.
Yeah, I agree.
So he's still going to be here. He's still going to be the quarterback. We're going to hear it all offseason, how we need to draft a quarterback, blah, 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 blah. No, it's not going to happen. Same old thing. We're going to have to – I can't wait for the phone calls all spring. That's all I'm going to hear once the calendar turns over. But, no, it's – this team just has so many depth issues. Richie Grant, I was so
wrong. He was so bad last night.
He's been so bad this year. I don't know – what's going on with him? He's been the biggest disappointment of this season for me, probably. On the defensive side, at least, as far as rookies go, I was expecting. I mean, I don't know if you remember, but I thought he was going to be almost an MVP of this defense. That's what I thought. That's how highly I thought of him, and it hasn't been that. Guys haven't been playing. Like we're playing backups in the secondary, and he is still not playing. And I don't know. Maybe he'll turn it around. Maybe it's just growing pains. He's just getting acclimated to the NFL. I don't know. I'm not in practice. I don't know DMPs. I don't know what's going on there. But he hasn't looked good. He hasn't been good, and the defense has shown it. So I expected more of him. And look, man, we just have so many holes. I just don't know where we're going to go. It's gonna make the NFL draft very interesting. Let's put it that way. But we just gotta purge all these bad contracts off our books.
This is not a quick fix. It's gonna take years for Fontenot to
have so much dead money.
Yes,
like the fact that we have so many guys on tiny contracts on our roster, and we still are like 28th in salary cap available. It's hilarious. I mean, I
that's why Ridley has to go. That's why these guys, like, there's just, what are you going to do? Pay Ridley? What?
Yeah, because we're not going to pay Calvin Ridley. I don't know why Calvin Ridley wouldn't sign a contract here. Why would he?
Right. So it's just, they're going to have a lot more tough, frustrating moves in the future for our dear Atlanta Falcons. Quickly,
don't buy a Falcons jersey anytime soon.
I didn't even wear the work done one. I just had the Falcons hat on. I didn't rock the classic.
I actually didn't. This was the first game in a long time that I've sat down and watched a game start to finish and didn't wear any Falcons like apparel at all.
So it's your fault.
it hadn't worked before, so I mean, why would it work now?
That's fair.
That's why we got blanked. I don't know.
Oh, is that a pun?
Yeah, I was about to say. Blanked in home that blank built.
The Hawks. Quickly.
A little better.
I think they figured some stuff out. I don't think it's a coincidence that one of their key early contributors is gone. Not saying that I wished injury, because that's gross and not something I'm considering, but I am saying less options for Nate to fiddle with, and less just to shrink this lineup and to shrink the opportunities and to invest more in 6 to 7 guys, I think is really what this team needs. And Hunter, man, I just... Now it's the wrist. There are just some people that are never going to be available, and Hunter is just one of those guys. And you and Max knew like how I felt about this a year ago, where I was just like, I would get out ahead of this. Of just like when he was doing the point forward stuff, I was like, let's trade him now before this knee and everything else props back up. And guys like him just scare me, because I don't think they get better injury wise. I think this is just something that is going to unfortunately plague him for his career, and it's going to strap what the Hawks can do. But also Reddish really going downhill in recent weeks has been troubling as well. But
he looked good against the Celtics.
He did. So hopefully that means that
very good against the Celtics. He was probably the reason we were in that game early. He and Kevin Herter.
Well, and that's the other thing is Herter is a huge beneficiary, I think, from Hunter.
That's the big thing. Yeah. So I know how you feel about DeAndre Hunter. I love DeAndre Hunter. I think he is immensely talented, but I'm starting to come to your line of thinking where he's just not going to be. Look, you can't be a dominating player if you can't play.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it's not about what you could be. It's what you're doing. And it's a what have you done for me lately business. And the guy can't stay healthy. And we have too much talent on this team to sit by and continue to wait and wait and wait.
I also don't think
this is
the
team that can win a championship this year, and you got to go get a guy who can push us over the top. And I don't think DeAndre Hunter can be that guy because he can't play.
Right. And he's shooting well. He's shooting 39% from three. He's been fine. He doesn't attack nearly enough. He still was like 10 a game. But what I will say too, the guy who has just not caught a lot of strays. I don't know if people have been calling in at 99 about this, but Clint Capela's been bad. And this was the uncomfortable conversation to have, where it's just that, like, when Onyeka Okongwu, Max's guy, like, was gone for the first part of this year, that was something we were wondering about, because he's just so good defensively and he's our future five. If he was available, I think we're just being like, okay, there's no reason to have Capela in the starting lineup anymore. And Onyeka deserves more of those minutes at the five just because of what he does defensively. Because part of the reason that, or I think a major reason, we're 28th in defensive rating as of this writing, and I think we're still in the top five in offensive rating, it's that Capella's been awful defensively. Just awful. And if that's the case, we have some problems because there's no one behind him. You're not throwing in Jang at the five for long minutes. You're not throwing Gallo at the five. Like, Collins at the five works offensively, but offense hasn't been our issue. So I don't know. I think that is something to monitor because Nkongwu is not coming back anytime soon. So I don't know how they address that.
Well, don't forget that he was coming off of the surgery,
right?
And he didn't have his feet under him. I think he's looked significantly better in recent weeks. He has looked a lot better, starting with that really in that Bucks game. So he was like right around there. So like the end of that West Coast trip, I think he started to come into his own and he started to look a little bit better. Not as good on the defensive end, but then he started picking that up a little bit as well. It's just conditioning. I think that's really what it is. That's why I'm not hitting the panic button. This is why I didn't hit the panic button when we lost, seven in a row? Look, we played seven teams who could all play for a championship. I could see literally any of those teams that we played on that losing streak. I could see every single one of them playing in the NBA Finals this year. So I didn't hit the panic button on him yet. Not yet.
It would just be nice to have Nkongwu there while he's getting back.
Oh, yeah. That certainly would have
I just don't think – that was my broader point is I don't think we're off to this rough start if Nkongwu is available there.
I completely agree. I completely agree with that. I don't think it's an indictment of Clint Capela. I think it's the fact that Onyeka Okongwu is a guy who can come off the bench or he can start and he can be a very dominant player. And I'm big on Onyeka Okongwu. I think he's a great player. I'm really excited for what he can do for this team. But again, he's got to get healthy. But yeah, I mean, if he's healthy, then we can bring Clint Capela along a little bit slower. We don't have to play him for 32 minutes a game when he's probably not ready to play 32 minutes a game. I don't think he was really in that situation. He was doing it out of necessity. And I think he's coming around a little bit. I mean, he's got his conditioning up. He's been playing better as of late. I mean, he's been getting boards left and right. I mean, like the guy's still a board machine, especially during the regular season. And I think the team's better when Clint Capela is playing better. And, but yeah, I mean, look, they've won three games in a row against three pretty good opponents. Two teams that will certainly be in the playoffs. So I think the Hawks are coming into their own, and I think it has a lot to do with the fact that I think Trey is starting to settle down a little bit. He's not. I still don't like what he did last game against the Celtics because he wasn't really great that game from the floor. He was 0-for-6 from three. The shot wasn't going in, but he started taking some dumb shots. I hate it when he takes those logo threes when nothing else is working. I think he settles, and I think that's still one of the more frustrating things that he does. But I don't think he overreacted necessarily. He calmed down. He started distributing the basketball effectively, starting getting the ball to guys like Kevin Huerter and Cam Reddish, guys who were feeling their shot, and he got the ball to him and he was the chief distributor. And I love it when Trey does that. And then he got to the line effectively. And so that's why, the Hawks were able to put him away because, well, Trey didn't lose his freaking head like he had on that losing streak. So I think the team's coming around, and I think you really hit it is because I don't want to credit this. Like you said, it's kind of because we lost one of the mouths to feed. So we don't have like that guy who we feel like we have to be getting the ball to him to get shots. So I just think the fluidity of this team, it's going to come. It's a work in progress. It's still coming. I think by Christmas, we're going to be right back at the top of the Eastern standings where we belong.
Garrett Chapman, how do we keep up with you this weekend with the College Football Show and all the good folks at 929 The Game?
Well, it's a busy weekend, man. Tonight I'm going up to Eagles Landing Christian Academy.
Athens. Is that Henry Academy's County? Going
Elka, down in McDonough.
Okay.
Yeah, so then I'm going down there for round two of the GHSA state playoffs, man. That's going to be a good one. Athens Academy. It's a single-A private battle, so it's going to be it's going to be fun. That's going to be a good game. Those are two good teams. But, man, it's going to be a busy weekend because then we jump right into college football game time the next morning, and then I got a show on Sunday morning as well. So it's going to be a busy one. So keep up with me at GChapATL on Twitter, man. That's the best way to do it.
All right. Well, the boys are back. Thank you, as always. We'll have Max back next week as well. But, Garrett, I greatly appreciate it, and I will talk to you next week.
Sounds good, man.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.